this is important too.
Yes, sir.
Jeremiah chapter 4. Go ahead also and go to Romans chapter 16, would you? Romans chapter 16. I want you to go there also. Romans chapter 16 and Jeremiah chapter 4, okay? Now, when you get over there to Romans 16, take a piece of paper and stick it in right there, all right? Stick it in right there. If you don't have any paper, tear a page out of the songbook. I was just kidding. Don't do that. Don't tear a page out of the songbook. If you have to, stick your hand back there, but fold the page over something, because we're going there, we'll be there, but it's going to be late in the message, all right?
Amen.
But hold that place there so you can get there quickly when that time comes. Jeremiah chapter 4, look at one verse, verse 22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. That word sottish means they're hard-headed. You don't know anybody like that, do you? And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject or the title of the message today is Upside Down and Backwards. Upside Down and Backwards. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet to the people of God. Now, I keep saying that. I think every message I've preached out of Jeremiah, I've said, I want to remind you, Jeremiah was a prophet to the people of God. And I say it because I'm afraid that if you read or hear the words that he wrote, you could easily get the idea he was prophesying against the heathen. But that's not the case, all right? He was speaking to the people of God. He was speaking to the people that we would consider and call in our day the believers, okay? That's who he was speaking to. But the message he gave, unfortunately, if you will, is still relevant, still hits home to us today, because the sad fact is so many of God's people today pretty much have things upside down and backwards. You said, what? Yeah, we've got it all messed up. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7 and verse 19, he said this, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He said, the things that are good and I know I ought to do, he said, I find myself not doing those things. But the evil things that I don't want to do and I know I shouldn't do, he's had trouble, said, that's things I wind up doing. You ever find yourself in that position? Hey, the problem's with the flesh. Problems with the flesh. The Bible tells us we're to mortify that flesh we live in. You're a child of God. You've been born again. You still have that old fleshly nature to deal with. And we need to mortify it. We need to put it to death. But way too often we feed it. And we find ourselves far removed from the life that God would have us live today. We don't do it. And such really is the case with our text today. So I want you to look at this verse with me, a few words at a time. Notice the targeted audience, would you? The targeted audience. Notice what he says there right there at the beginning, for my people. My people. It's not the lost man God sent this message to. This is not the man out there estranged from God, never having trusted him. It's not the man in his sin on his way to hell. But God said, I'm talking to my people. My people. He's speaking to his own folks. In that day, it was the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah. Those were his people. Today, it's the born-again child of God.
Amen.
The born-again child of God. Not some mixed multitude that slipped in into the church just to hang out for a little while. No, he's talking to his people. He's talking to you and I that are saved. It's the folks that are here today because you'd tell somebody, I've been born again. That's why I'm in the house of God. This is where I'm supposed to be, preacher. I'm saved. This is where I'm supposed to be. I belong to the King. I am his child. Well, wait a minute. That's the audience he's talking to. You get it? That's the audience he's talking to. So just in case you're sitting there saying, I don't have to worry about it, he ain't talking to me. Yeah, he is. He's talking to you and I, all right? Not only that, but I want you to see the tough indictment that he gives them. Would you look at this verse? Look at what he says. He says, he's talking to my people, and he says, they are wise to do evil. They are wise to do evil. Wise. Hey, they know a great deal, but he said they know a great deal about the wrong thing.
Yes, sir. Amen.
We know a whole lot about stuff that's wrong, that's wicked, that's evil. We're informed about sin and its many manifestations. We're familiar with it, all right? And we live in a day, and it's a sad thing to me. I'm afraid too many of God's people think we ought to investigate all that's wicked and all that's vile. I sometimes worry.
Yes, sir.
As a preacher, you get them, you tell people, hey, don't watch this.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You don't watch this show. And immediately,
yes, sir.
We're like the kid at the museum,
right,
where the sign says, don't touch, and you immediately think you have to touch it.
That's right.
I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians are like that. Preacher preaches and says, don't, you got no business watching this. And said, well, I wonder what it is. I need to check it out. Can't trust that preacher telling me the truth. I've got to go view it for myself. We live in a time where it's that way. Too many of God's people, we're too familiar with about those things that are evil. But wait a minute. That's not all that statement says. That is not all. It goes beyond just knowing about and knowing what is evil. It's more than just having a knowledge of that which is evil. Notice what it says. The scripture says they are wise to do evil. To do evil. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's an experiential knowledge. I've investigated it myself. I've been involved. I've done it. There's too much of that among God's people. We've experimented. We've fooled around with things we shouldn't. God's people have been involved in those practices and those habits that the Bible tells us are evil, all right? They're evil. There's nothing good about it, nothing wonderful about it. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 2 says this, learn not the way of the heathen. But unfortunately, it seems so many Christians, that's what they want to major in, if you will. It's like, I want to go to the university and major in that which is evil. I want to find out all I can. Can I just tell you today? Can I just say this to you? It's good. It's okay. It's right. If you don't know how to play poker,
amen.
It's okay. Can I just say this? It's fine if you don't know how to dance.
Amen.
It's okay if you don't.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about it. So I don't have any social graces. I can't dance.
Oh, no.
Now, I did dance as a kid. I'll be honest, I will. Be honest, it was a two-man tango. But I was the only one dancing. Because Dad had a hold of my arm.
Amen,
usually this arm.
Oh, yeah.
And he was providing the music, that the belt coming through the air had a singing tune that it played.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I danced.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, I couldn't do the foxtrot, the bunny hop, just pick one. I don't know, okay? Somebody talks about ballroom dancing. Man, could I say it's okay if you don't know how to do that?
Amen.
You don't have to hide your head in shame.
No, sir.
Hey, it's all right if you don't know the proper way to hold a cigarette.
Yep.
That's okay. It's all right if you don't have, you haven't, you know, got that style down, the great, you know, drooping off your lip or whatever. It's okay. It's all right if you don't know how to crank up one of those electronic cigarettes and vape, all right? I put in my sermon notes the word vape. My auto-correcting speller didn't recognize it, so it underlined it in red. Good. Hey, it's okay if you don't know that. That's fine. It's all right. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And I tell you this, it's fine if you don't know how to go to a bar and order a drink. That's fine. It's okay in life you don't even know what goes in a martini. I'll be honest with you, the only thing I know that I understand is that they have an olive in them. Is that right? For y'all you drinkers? No, nobody out there today say, "Preacher, I can tell you." Nobody wants to do that. Not here, okay? Hey, can I say this? It's okay if you don't know those things. That's fine. It's almost like in this world today that so many of God's people think, "Well, I've got to know all of that." No, you don't. You don't need to be wise to do evil. But far too many Christians are. Hey, the sad thing is far too many Christians know how to pass a drug test when there's drugs in their system. It's my understanding there are things you can do and then things you can drink. And I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've heard it. There's a lady that used to work in the lunchroom of a public school here in the area that told me one time that the coach would oftentimes come to her to get pickle juice. And supposedly the athlete could drink and it would conceal drug use. I hope I helped some of you there, all right? Hey, can I say this? It's okay if you don't know that kind of stuff.
That's right. Amen, brother.
It's okay. There's no benefit to it. We don't, hey, by the way, you don't have to worry about it if you never fool with dope, okay?
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. I never have worried about passing the drug test.
No, sir.
In my life, I've never worried about passing the drug test. Never. Hey, listen, folks. This is the indictment on God's people. He said, "You're wise to do evil." But then here's the shameful truth. In that same verse, would you take a look there again in verse 22? Notice what it says, "But to do good, they have no knowledge." To do good, they have no knowledge. That to me is such a sad statement. Hey, we're talking about people that are born again. We're talking about people that would tell you, "I know the Lord, I've been saved. I know when I die, I'm going to heaven." But wait a minute. To do good, you have no knowledge. Hey, the folks that ought to be known for their good works are said to have no knowledge of them. Not that they just don't do them, but they don't know how to do that which is good. He said, "What are you talking about?" Well, this, the Bible talks about you ought to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that lieth in you. You ought to be ready always to give reason for the hope that lieth in you. Can you do that? Can you do that? Hey, can you defend your faith? Can you defend your faith? I've knocked doors for years and I've ran across a bunch of Buddhist people. A bunch of Buddhist people that tell me, "I'm a Buddhist."
Right.
And I'll often ask them, "Well, do you go up to the temple up here towards Roanoke?" I'm amazed at how many of them that temple's this close. "No, I go to one over in Dallas."
Right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
But I always ask them this, and I can say it in all honesty. I said, "You know, I don't really know a lot about what a Buddhist believes." I said, "What do y'all believe?"
Right.
And all the ones that I've asked,
"Come on,
I've had one. One that can answer that question." and tell me anything about their faith. The rest of them said this. Well, you really need to go talk to the monk. You really need to go talk to the monk. Is that the way you defend your faith? Well, come to church with me. You can talk to my preacher. Is that your defense of your faith? Well, you know, I don't really know how to put it into words. I can't do it. Hey, we're sitting in the Baptist church.
Come on, brother.
You ought to have a reason why you're a Baptist.
Amen.
There ought to be a reason you're a Baptist. Well, they have better casseroles than the Methodists. I hope that's not the reason, all right? I hope it's not something goofy, you know.
Amen.
But you ought to have a reason. You ought to have a Bible reason. You ought to know why you do good. You know why you're a Baptist. Hey, we believe this old King James Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
We stand on it. I preach it. I make an issue out of it. And I read all the time here and there in different places where people mocking that and belittling the King James only. Well, folks, I'll tell you something. There's a reason.
Yes, sir. Right.
There's reasons for that. And it's not just because this book says thee and thou, okay? That's not it at all. But there's reasons. Why? Can you tell people? Hey, to do good, you have any knowledge? Hey, let me just draw it down real precise. You know how to lead a soul to Christ? Do you know how to lead a soul to Christ? If you come up on the scene of an accident, the car maybe is in the ditch, it's overturned, and you stop, and you go over, better yet, it's across the road and you can't get by. It's upside down, you stop, you get up there, and nobody else is there at the scene, you go up, there's a person laying in that car. You can tell by looking at them, it looks like they're going to bleed to death.
Right.
Could you keep them from going to hell?
Amen.
Could you keep them out of hell? Hey, the Bible says to do good, they have no knowledge.
Right.
The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
Do you know how to lead a soul to Christ?
Amen.
Can you do that? Hey, we're in a sad situation. We're in a day where we're wise to do evil, but to do good, have no knowledge. Can't do it. Can't do it. You know what you need to do? You need to turn this thing around. I told you I wanted to preach to you, upside down and backwards. We got it backwards. We got it backwards. Need to turn it around. I told you we need to be in Romans chapter 16, right? All right, let's go there. Romans chapter 16, if you would. Romans chapter 16, one verse here. Look at verse 19. This verse says almost the exact opposite of Jeremiah 4:22. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Simple concerning evil, but wise unto that which is good. Hey, when you're upside down and backwards, you need to turn around and turn over, okay? And it doesn't take a scientific genius to figure that out, right? If you're backwards, you need to turn around. Need to turn around. When I was a kid, I was fascinated. There were people in my neighborhood that could sit on the handlebars and pedal the bicycle and go backwards. That was fascinating to me as a kid. I always thought, man, I wish I could do that. But every time I tried, that's the reason I'm scarred the way I am. One reason. Couldn't do it. But you know what? It's better to be turned around rather than going backwards. Turn around. Hey, if you're upside down, you want to get right side up. You need to turn over. I'm going to tell you how different your life could be and how much happier you could be, how much more you could do for God if you'd just turn it around and turn over, all right? You'd be amazed. If you would decide, wait a minute, I'm going to be wise unto that which is good.
Amen.
I'm going to study up on it.
Yes,
and I'm going to learn how to do it. And then I'm going to do it.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to begin to do that. And all of that that's evil, all I need to know is it's evil.
Amen.
All I need to know is it's bad.
Right.
You know what? Every time I've seen that skull and crossbones on a bottle or a jar, never once in my life have I thought, I wonder how it tastes. Do you? I mean, really, you see that warning, that label, that sign that says it's poison?
Amen.
I don't wonder if I could just a little taste. Just a little bit. I've never been around a rattlesnake where I thought, I wonder how it really feel to get bit. I just wonder how that would feel. I mean, do you start swelling immediately? I mean, you ever, is that the way y'all investigated those things? You're down there at the water, and there's a black snake, and you go, wonder if it's a moccasin. I'll jump in and stroke its head. I will check it out. No. I hope you don't do that.
Amen.
But wait a minute. If it's evil, if it's wrong, you and I, our view ought to be, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm going to stay away from it. But I want to be wise unto that which is good. I want to be wise unto that which is good. I want to take the time and delve into the things of God. Those things that are right. Those things that are good. Those things that are pure. Well, quit exercising the knowledge of evil and acquire some knowledge of good. I'm going to spend some time doing that. Then I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. I have in my garage, because I just recently moved it there, I have a fly rod. Okay, one of those rods that's long, and man, they got a good whip to them, and the reel is at the very end. But if you fly fish, you really don't so much reel with the reel, okay? And I bought it years ago because I read this article that said you can catch more fish fly fishing than you can anything else. I like to catch fish.
Amen.
So I went and bought me a fly rod. And I got this video that teaches you how to cast. There's an art to it, okay? There's an art to it. You see, you push, you throw that line, and at the last minute you whip your wrist. Then you pull it back and you whip your wrist. That makes that line curl where you can cast it, okay? And I practiced with it. With nothing on the end, because I could see that barb going, you know, right here, coming back. So I practiced, and I got where I could cast that thing, man. But you know what? I've never caught a fish with it. Be honest with you, I've never carried it to the water. I've never been at the water with my fly rod, and I've never done it. But why not? Same reason some of you
come on. Yes, sir.
Know some good things, you never do it.
That's right. Preach it, brother. Come on.
You never do it. Because you never really planned to do it. You never really planned to do it. I want to tell you something. You talk about a better life, you could have a better life. If you decide, I'm going to investigate that which is, I'm going to find out what God says about what's good. And I'm going to investigate it. And I'm going to find out about it. I'm going to learn it. And I'm going to put it into practice in my life. I'm going to be able to tell somebody how to stay out of hell.
Amen.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do my best to be able to witness somebody and find somebody to just talk to them. Talk to them about it. And I'm going to know how to do it. I'm going to be able to defend my faith. I'm going to be able to give somebody a reason for the hope that lieth in me, man. I've got a hope, and I've got a reason for it. I can tell you about it. So Listen, I tell you, it's time for God's people to step up, take a stand for the one who died for you in the midst of this crooked and perverse world in which we live. God's people need to stand up. We need to get less involved in evil, and we want to know less about that, but I sure would like to know more about what's good. I want to put it into practice. Let your light really shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do away with the evil. Dwell on the good. Dwell on the right. Dwell on that which is godly. That's the way we're to live, folks. That's the way we're to live. We're not to live wise to do evil and just have no knowledge of that which is good. Hey, where are you today? Is there more knowledge, more wisdom about evil? And you've been involved in it? But on the good side, you're kind of lacking? Well, only you can change that. Only you can change that. I believe that change starts with you walking the aisle and asking God to forgive you. Amen. You walk in this aisle and say, "Dear God, I'm guilty, and I want you to forgive me." Amen. And then I'm going to get with it. You say, "But how am I going to change it?" I'll tell you what you do. You show up Sunday school. Amen. You show up for preaching service. You show up Sunday night. Show up for Wednesday night. Amen. You go home. You read your Bible. Right. When there's revival service, you show up at the revival. Why? I want to get all the wisdom about good that I can.
Yes, sir.
Get all I can. I'm going to spend some time doing it. But then I'm going to put it to work. I'm going to put it to practice. Put it in use in my life. Will you do that? Will you do that? Don't do like I did. Don't buy the fly rod and never take it fishing. What a mistake. What a waste. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. Is that you? Is that you? And maybe you're here this morning. The truth of the matter is pretty much everything I've said has been foreign to you. You don't really grasp, you don't understand, because the truth is, if you were to die this moment, you have no real assurance you'd spend an eternity in heaven. You've got no reason to tell me why God would let you in heaven. No reason. You've never trusted Him as your Savior. Let me invite you this morning. In just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. Hey, Christian, if you need to come, you need to come. Hey, Christian, if you need to come, you'll come. There's a better chance the lost man will come. There's a better chance. But if you're lost this morning, never trusted Christ, would you have the courage to walk down the aisle, meet me right here at the front and say, "Preacher, I need to understand what you've been talking about. I need the Lord." We'll have somebody take the Bible and open it and show you what the Bible says. But my friend, God's dealing with you. Would you come today? Don't put it off. Don't put it off. If the Holy Spirit has been telling you, "Hey, are you listening? That's you. That's you he's talking about." You don't know. You don't practice those things that are good. Is that you? Hey, the truth of the matter is you may have gotten rid of some of the evil, but you've never really gotten involved in the good. You need to. You need to. Would you come this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to you today and ask you to just deal with hearts. Deal with lives this morning. Lord, help us to see the truth of this verse in the Bible. And Lord, help us to admit the truth about our own life. We're far too wise to do evil. But our knowledge of that which is good is severely limited. Lord, it's our fault, it's not your fault. Would you deal with us today? Help us to do what we need to do. Lord, there's maybe somebody here this morning that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. Would you help them to come today? Give them the courage to step out, walk down the aisle, meet me here at the front. Lord, would you just use the invitation for your honor and your glory? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We sing this morning, page 394, "I Surrender All." God's dealing with you. Would you come? Would you come? Don't hold back. Don't wait. You need to come. You come. this morning while we sing. Come on.